This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The ultimate fantasy role-playing game, Dungeons & Dragons, turns 40 this year, and the makers of the game are banking on widespread excitement. D&D publisher Wizards of the Coast is in the process of launching a much-anticipated redesign, 5th edition of the popular game, and is targeting existing players and new fans alike. So if you've never played the game before, this could be your chance to see at last what it takes to become a dungeon master. David Ewald is contributing writer for Forbes and author of the book Of Dice and Men, The Story of Dungeons and Dragons and the People Who Play It. The book is now out in paperback. And David, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
The last time Dungeons and Dragons released a new edition, that was the 4th, they did lose some market share and some diehard gamer core network, some of their diehard gamer core network. What do you think happened?
Well, what happened was that tabletop role-playing games like D&D had been dwindling in popularity from the 90s into the 2000s, in large part because of the increasing popularity of video games. A lot of that audience of people who used to sit at a table and play games like D&D were now sitting in front of their TV or in front of their computer and playing games like World of Warcraft. So when the last version, the 4.0 edition of Dungeons & Dragons came out, the company tried to make it more video gamey. A lot of longtime players of the game complained that it felt like they were just mashing buttons on a controller. They were repeating the same actions over and over again. And the company sort of wanted that because they were trying to appeal to a new generation of gamers, but their core audience really got turned off by it.
So how about the new edition, the 5th? How is that different from previous versions?
Well, Wizards of the Coast tried to do a very ambitious redesign this time around. They realized that they've got 40 years worth of fans of Dungeons and Dragons, but part of their problem was, you know, a lot of those fans played the first edition. A lot of those fans played second and third and fourth, and the people who played the old versions weren't buying new product. So they decided they wanted to sort of unify the whole thing and make an edition that really spoke to the fundamentals of Dungeons and Dragons. They almost worried about the rules less than they focused on the setting and the feeling. They wanted everybody who sat down at the game to not be constrained by, okay, this is exactly how you poke somebody with your sword, and wanted the people to feel more like, okay, this feels like I'm on a fantasy adventure. Mm. And that's really been their focus with the new edition.
So who's the market for the new edition?
Well, there is a core market of role-playing gamers. It's an aging audience. You know, it's a lot of people who started playing in the 80s and 90s. But Wizards of the Coast, which is owned by Hasbro, would like to see a much bigger market. They want this to be a toy and a game that the video game generation plays, that kids in their teens pick up and get into. So the market in that sense is very broad. You know, they really hope that for this to break out of its sort of very aging group of customers and become a phenomenon that, well, I play video games, so why not sit down at a table and play this other kind of
mm-hmm.
game?
Now, they're doing a staggered launch for this. What does that mean?
Usually when a new edition of this game comes out, it's not like Monopoly. It's not just, okay, here's the box and the board and some dice. Because this game is, you know, played largely in your head and it's sort of, you know, it's an improvised adventure with your friends, it's all based on rule books. What they're doing this time around is, first, back in August, they released like the basic rules. It's basically like a 10-page pamphlet. They released it as an electronic book, and those basic rules are free. So people who have always been curious about the game and who have heard about it over the decades can just download those rules and they can get started without dropping a dime. Later that month, they released a box set. They call it the starter set, which is slightly more. It's $20, but it gets you, you know, through the first couple of levels of the game. You know, if you've tried it and you're into it, then you can say, all right, I'm willing to commit $20. If you want to be a long-term player, is where you get to where we are now. This month, the company released the Player's Handbook, which is the big $50 hardcover rule book that really gets you deep into the game. If you want to play it every week with your friends, if you want to have a campaign that goes for years, you're going to buy this Player's Handbook. And then the other two cool core rule books are called the Monster Manual and the Dungeon Master's Guide. And those are going to be staggered out over the next couple of months, probably to make spending $150 on three rule books a little bit more palatable.
But still, $150 compared to the price of some new electronic games is really nothing.
It is. I mean, you have to think about it that way. A video game comes out, new video games for the Xbox or the PlayStation cost $60, and you might play that video game for 2-3 weeks, put it away and never play it again. The people who are really into games like Dungeons and Dragons might play this every single week for years and years. There's campaigns and groups that have played for decades. So yeah, that initial investment of $350 books isn't that much in the grand scheme of things, and thinking, you know, well, I'm going to get 6 hours of enjoyment out of this every single week.
Now, David, we really enjoy speaking to you. We really enjoyed your book on Dungeons and Dragons. But you said that they have to get over this aging hump. There's another hump I think they have to get over, the idea that people who play Dungeons and Dragons are kind of geeky, you know, the kind of guys that dress up as wizards and that kind of thing. Do you think they're going to get over that hump?
I think that is disappearing. I mean, it's always been a real problem that there's a stereotype of people who play this kind of game. And, you know, it exists because, you know, a lot of the times, you know, people who play this game are very geeky. But two things have happened. One is that gaming in general has gotten a lot broader and a lot more people are playing games. Everybody plays a video game now, whether it's on their phone or on their computer or on their tablet. Somebody's playing a game somewhere. So it's a little less of an intellectual leap to say, okay, yeah, I'm going to sit down at a table and play this game too. The other thing that's changing is that geeky is not a pejorative the same way it used to be. I mean, we are now living in a generation where the people who are sort of our cultural heroes are people like Mark Zuckerberg. You know, these are the computer nerds, the people who may have been made fun of 15, 20 years ago, but now they're the heroes of our society. And so being a geek is not a bad thing like it may have been 20 years ago. And that definitely helps people feel maybe less embarrassed about going to play a game like D&D.
Well, with the legacy, with all the competition from video games, do you think that the new Dungeons & Dragons can compete to become the mainstream role-playing game?
Yeah, I think Dungeons & Dragons is always going to be the number one role-playing game. It's got just such history and such a reputation behind it. You know, can it be as big as computerized role-playing games and as console role-playing games? That's tough because it requires a commitment. It requires you to round up some friends and you have to play it with people. So you have to get everyone together and play for a couple hours. You can't consume it in short bursts like you would something like World of Warcraft. So computer games, I think, are always probably going to be more popular. But D&D, I think, is in for a real revival. And the new 5th edition is already selling really, really well. And it shows that there's a real resurgence happening of this kind of gaming.
Well, David, great pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
David Ewalt is contributing writer for Forbes. He's also author of the book of Dice and Men, The Story of Dungeons and Dragons and the People Who Play It. The book is now out in paperback. We've got a link for you to listen to our interview with him when his book was first released. And you can also find a link to David's conversation with the brand director and executive producer of Dungeons and Dragons. He wrote it for Forbes. It's at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.
Hey, Daniel. We're playing D&D tonight. You want to come?
Why?
I think you'd like it. We could show you how to play.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah, you wouldn't like it anyway. It's really boring.
No. No, it isn't, Neil. You love it. We sit around and crack jokes and eat junk food all night while we're fighting dragons and saving princesses and stuff. It's pretty fun.
And the best part is, you get to pretend to be somebody you can't be in real life.
Okay, I'll play.
Really?
Yeah, I'll play. Just don't expect me to be good at it or anything.
That's James Franco in the year 2000 playing Danny, the rebel without a cause, on Judd Apatow's TV series Freaks and Geeks. The celebration of D&D's 40th anniversary has inspired yet another project, the audiobook anthology of The Legend of Drizzt by R.A. Salvatore. Features a cast of characters who bring to life the tale of a dark elf. Some playing decidedly against type. Some of the celebrity voiceovers seem right at home with the subject matter. Here's Will Wheaton from Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Fill the buckets, grab a fish, muttered Ringo Heffenstone, a dwarf with exceptionally broad shoulders, even for a dwarf, and a large...
Rapper and actor Ice-T also lends his voice to the project and sounds, well, just a little less comfortable.
So he was alone. No, not alone. He corrected himself as he dropped a hand onto the crafted hilt of Kazatea, a sentient sword he had found beneath the devastated site were Obul.
To be fair, in the behind-the-scenes video for the recording, Ice-T admitted he was not familiar with the Dungeons & Dragons franchise.
For those people that don't know, there's some interesting words, so you have to learn the correct pronunciation. You know, this guy got a talking sword. It's interesting. It's definitely far from where I grew up.
If you didn't grow up with Dungeons & Dragons and are maybe a little nervous about it, actor Sean Astin shares your fears.
Got right down to it, the multi-sided dice scared the hell out of me. I'm not kidding. There's 20 sides on one die? I know that's not right. That's not how, if you look at any other game, you don't see that.
Other celebrity narrators for the new audiobook include Al Yankovic, David Duchovny, Melissa Rauch, and Felicia Day. The 12-story anthology is available for free download at audible.com until September 20th.